Is it? Ah, look at that. So, well, it's a little bit loud maybe. Just a little less. Then I can still play a little with my voice. Good to be here. And I think most of you I've seen, I can't maybe not say I know you, because that is still different. Some of you I see for the first time, and you've not been here with me. Or you also not? So four people. Well, good. I'm Henk Bruggeman. The Dutch pronunciation, Bruggeman, or English Bruggeman. And it's a bridge man. And actually, that is what my whole life is like, a bridge between the two, bringing people over. And I'm speaking about the revelation of the Father. That's the only topic I speak upon now for 18 years. It changes every year, because last year it was only 17 years now. And for 15 years we have Father House, the church, and Father House, the movement. And so we are now in roughly 14 countries where we just bring this revelation. And Great Britain is one of the countries. I wrote a book. My first book is Living in Sonship, and I'm delighted to tell you that finally it will be printed in English, and that is in February. So then it will be published and will be available. It's now getting translated in the 10th language is now there, Arabic. It will be translated in Arabic. It is now in Dutch, in German, in English, in Portuguese is coming, French is coming, Albanian is ready, Farsi is ready, Turkish is coming, Urdu from Pakistan is coming, and then Arabic is coming. So it's amazing, because I've not searched for the people. They just came and they offered their expertise or their what they could do, and in this way it's getting translated in so many countries, in so many languages, and it's so important, because the Soroš is the man who translated it in Farsi for Iran, and he said there are so many Iranian Christians, but they have still this idea of the harsh father, and the father who is a loving father is unknown. And but through the years, even when I speak in Europe, in the Netherlands, in Germany, in England, we see that we all still need to adjust the picture that we have of Father God. And sometimes we think we know him, but here is a different story. So the difference, if you know him here, it means you know the right Bible verses. You can quote the Bible verses about God. Here is where you have experienced him in that way. And that's the big difference. So it's not enough to know about him, to know here who he is. And every time, of all the qualities, all the character, the whole character of God, it's possible for us bit by bit to experience him in such a way in your daily life. So who wants to know the Holy Spirit more? Who? Do you know what God has given him a name? Do you know the name of the Holy Spirit?
Comforter. comforter. So how do you think you will get to know in your heart, how will you get to know him better, the comforter? When you need comfort. So if you say, yes, I want to know him, prepare yourself. Something is coming on your way where you need comfort. Well, sometimes we are in a certain situation that we don't like, and we just try to pray it away. And God says, no, it's not always, because there are situations that you can pray and they will go. But there are also situations that God says, that is a situation I want to use. It's not a God-given situation. It's just something because we live in an imperfect, sinful world. And maybe we made a mistake, or the one sitting next to us. Well, don't look, but... So, you know, and because of something, it comes on your way. It is part of you. And then it's possible, God says, now this is the perfect timing to have a heart experience of what it means for me to be able to comfort you. Will you please let me? And this is in so many ways that we can get to know God in an intimate, a personal way through experience. And this is what he wants, that we know him by the heart. Because if you know him by the heart, if he is really comforting you in a real life situation, then it's like you receive godly comfort. But the godly comfort, it starts with you, but it doesn't end with you. Because the beauty is that once you've received the godly comfort, it's different from the comfort from Adam, different from the comfort man can give you. The godly comfort is a comfort that can change things inside. It's not covering up, it's healing. There is healing. So the godly comfort, if we receive it, then God says, now you can give it out. Now when someone comes to you who needs the godly comfort, you have it, it's deposited in you, and you can work with it. You can give it out. And someone else can then be comforted by the godly comfort through you. Amen. This is amazing. And God says, I want this because I start with, well, let's say, my people, the Christians, the Jews, I start with my family, and my family is meant to represent me in the world. The people that don't know me, I want to give them a taste, a foretaste, an appetizer. And he says, I am going to use my people, my family. That's us. So then you understand it's not enough. Or if we just know God, that he is a comforter, and tell the people God is a comforter, it's shallow. The world is not waiting on beautiful words. They want to see a reality. They say, look at my life. How does it look? What do you think I need? Oh, this is wonderful. So, I heard there was a guy, Franklin. who was here when this guy was here, Franklin? Man, okay, lots of people were there. Well, I understood that some of you got a coin. And the coin has holy or holiness, holy? Holy on it, on one side. And on the other side was love. And on the side was grace. And we were in the car and yesterday, what was your name? Oh yeah, Graham was so kind, picking me up from the airport. And so we talked, and he told me about Franklin and what he had seen and what he shared. And to my surprise, because it fits perfectly in what we will do this weekend. And one of the things is, I think that we will talk about the practical side. How do we get there? Because for the ones that were not here, and the way that Graham told me, is there is like a love revival, a holiness revival, and now how can we combine the two? And that is through grace, and that will be a new revival, a new wave where holiness and love will be combined. And well, it's what I often say about Africa. There is such a power in the church in Africa. I've been 28 times in Ghana. We've been many times in Mozambique, in Kenya, in South Africa, in other countries, Nigeria. And there is such a zeal in the church. At the other hand, there is a strong hierarchy in the church. And so you are like under someone. And if the release will come so that the church in Africa will be like set free in sonship, so that they know the Father, and that the structure of the church is that the leaders are able to not control but let go and set free. So if the freedom through sonship, the identity of sonship will come with the zeal that is there, if the two will come together, it's dynamite. It will be the whole world, and will be they will go and change the world. So but I think that God has this strategy for each continent or people group, that there are already the right things available, but now they need to be combined. And the combination that it will take off in a it's not a multiplication, it's not double, but it's much, much more than adding the two together. It will be great, and so that will be for England the same. When we will be able, and this is what we will talk about this weekend. How, what is the road to this new period, this new season? And I have to tell you that the weekend in itself will not help you. But it can show you the way that you personally can take off, can go. But it needs to become personal. It is not enough to hear from me or from Franklin. And definitely not from Graham. So it's it's not enough. But if I use the example, Graham, you all understand. It's not enough. No, just joking. We know one another a little. And before I know, he will just take it out on me. So it's now me that I have the microphone, so I can... It's the last time that you say something, Adrian. So the main question is, how can we, he's going, how can we fit in the plan God the Father has in mind? So it's not to have a good plan. No, we need to fit into his plan. Very nice. I love you, Graham. from the beginning, I said when here, so it's like 4 years ago or something, the important thing is not doing. And I promised Graham not to repeat this because there were no longer any workers in the church. But doing, let me tell you a new revelation. Doing is important. But it doesn't start with doing. That's the whole thing. Because Jesus did a lot. But it started that he said, I can do nothing from myself. So it started with the knowledge that he knew that he was depending on his Father. He wanted to. And he was in reality. So it didn't start with the doing, it started with the relationship, intimacy with his Father, so that he could hear his Father. And his Father told him what to do. And then the doing comes. So doing is important. The only thing is it doesn't start with doing. I have two. These are beautiful. This is from Mark Ferkler. Maybe you know it from Hearing God's Voice. And on the one is an e-book and a workbook. You can put it into your computer and then you have the book. And here I even have the book and the audio and the video, 10 lessons on it's amazing. 10 lessons on audio, 10 lessons on video, and the book and the workbook is on this. And so if you say, well, understanding, hearing the voice of God, how? I can recommend the books and the teaching of Mark Ferkler very much. Now I want to start with a parable in the Bible, and it is where the banquet is given, and the people are invited, and then many have excuses, and then he says, "Go out and find anyone." Father is inviting. That's my title. The Father is inviting the good, the bad, and the ugly. No. It says the Father is inviting the good, the bad, and the English. So let's just have a look. I read it from the Amplified, this part. Those servants went out into the streets and gathered together all the people they could find, both bad and good. Interesting. So the wedding hall was filled with dinner guests. But when the king came in to see the dinner guests, he saw a man there who was not dressed, and then Amplified says, not dressed appropriately, in wedding clothes. And he said, "Friend, how did you come in here without wearing the wedding clothes?" And the man was speechless and without excuse. Then the king said to the attendants,
tie him hand and foot and throw him into the darkness outside. In that place there will be weeping over sorrow and pain and grinding of teeth over distress and anger. For many are called, but few are chosen. A beautiful verse for the love of the Father. And you know, every time I come across something like this, first of all, I say, well, where is my loving Father? Because if you read the whole parable, what stands out? That is, of course, a good answer. I have to give you a point. But, well, let me tell you what stood out for me. In the end, it is about the one who was thrown out. I mean, if you read it and you think about it, I was not thinking about how much all the others would eat. But because it's in the end, he's thrown out, so it has more or less an emphasis. So the king is throwing someone out. And if you take this emphasis, it is easy to think that you, by this example, know the heart of the king. He is throwing people out. So what is the next step? I better be careful. Before you know, I am the one he is throwing out. You understand this? It's possible that this is a certain thinking. So now the thing is this what God meant to be standing out? Is this why he wrote this parable? So that you would think, I better be careful with such a king. Before you know, he's throwing you out. And it's not. Well, how do I know? Well, because he starts, and this is the heart of the Father. It's not the end, it's the beginning where it shows the heart of the Father. And in the beginning, he says, invite the good and the bad. I don't care. They can all come. And you can come as you are. I'm not asking to change your behavior and then you are welcome. No, when you're bad, you're bad. And you're welcome. When you're good, you're welcome. When you're bad. That's the heart of the Father. He says, I'm not expecting you to become good before I invite you. Well, this is different. If this stands out, you say, oh, I'm lucky. Because whether I'm good or bad, I can be part. He is inviting me. Now, of course, there is an in-between part. And in the Passion Translation, it said, he noticed a guest who was not wearing the wedding robe provided for him. Ah. So, when all of these people came at the door, they received wedding clothes. They were not appropriately dressed. And he says, but I take care.
He says, I take care. So all of them got beautiful robes. Only the one, because he said, I can do it myself. I don't need it. And this is where God says, he says, look at you. If you're not depending, if you think you can do it yourself, look at you where it brings you, because there is no place for you when you're not depending, when you're not appropriately dressed. So then you need to be outside. So he caused the going out himself. It had nothing to do with the heart of the Father. The heart of the Father was for him exactly the same as for the others. He wanted him to be part. The only thing, you need to accept it. You need to accept the goodness of God. You need to know that you need the goodness of God. You need to know that you cannot do it yourself. Just, well, we are in good company, because who said, I cannot do it myself? It was Jesus. It was Jesus. He says, I cannot do it myself. So, if there is a parable, I always want to find the goodness of God, my loving Father. If not, then I know that I'm reading it wrong. And it's important to really see and find, discover that the Father is revealed for who he really is. And this is what Jesus says, no one knows the Son but the Father, and no one knows the Father but the Son, and to whom he will reveal it. So we need revelation from Jesus and the Holy Spirit to know the Father, to get to know him. And exactly here, we find in the end of the Bible exactly the same, Revelation 19. It's just a little further than what you were reading. 19:7-8. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come. There is the wedding feast. It's coming. It was not only a parable, it will be real. It will be for real in the coming future. The wedding feast is coming, so you better make sure, not that you're right, no, that you receive what is offered. So don't think that you're not worthy, because he says, in Jesus you will be worthy. What is he saying? He says, and his bride, that's us, has made herself ready.